Lord, you are alive. Lord, you spoke to John on the Isle of Patmos. I was dead, now I'm alive forevermore. And I hold the keys to death and Hades. Lord Jesus, to you belongs the glory. And Lord, as we come to look at your word that you gave us, Lord, through your servants, the prophets and the writings, Lord, we bless you for them. And we pray, Lord, you'll help us to grasp their meaning, Lord, not just words, but, Lord, life and truth.
Amen.
Lord, as they touch our hearts.
Amen.
Bless us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Why is this man like the Bible? Do you know who this man is? That will give you a clue. Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell. Now, Oliver Cromwell. I have two pictures there. One has been altered. The second one has been altered. What's the difference between the two pictures? You can't see, can you? You need good eyesight. I've taken his wart off. See, you can see because he's closed up. He's done a wart there. Right? And the reason I say it's like the Bible is, when they came to paint, you know, in those days, they didn't have selfies and photos and things. They had to have a painting done. Yeah? And when the artist came to paint Oliver Cromwell, the chap was going to do a touch-up job, you know, make him look better than he was. And he said, no, paint me warts and all. That was his phrase. Paint me warts and all. So why is he like the Bible? Because the Bible tells you as it is. It doesn't gloss over things. It doesn't pretend things are nice when they're not, and so on. And so I've used that as an introduction to the chapter that we're going to look at in Genesis, chapter 34. You need to fasten your seatbelts for this one. This is a really hard chapter, dear friends. I trust it's good. There is excellent stuff in it for us to learn, but it's not an easy chapter at all. It's chapter 34 of Genesis. So let's have a look at our next one, please, if you may, William. Right. What a mess! What a mess! That's my description of the chapter. And the other is, here's a mathematical expression for you. Can you turn it into English?
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Oh, look at that! Clever people. That means does not equal. That's what that means, right? So wrong plus wrong does not equal right. So two wrongs don't make a right. We're going to find more than two wrongs in chapter 34 as we go through it. So let's have our next one, please. Right. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. They're living in a place called Shechem, and Dinah goes to visit the townsfolk. She's about 16 years old. Teenagers, you know what teenagers can be like, don't you? Well, she's a 16-year-old country girl, goes to town. I think she went on her own, which wasn't a wise thing really, but she's a country girl. What's that tell you about her? That's a bit naive. Why did she go? Well, we're not told all these things, I'm speculating. But remember, she's grown up with a whole bunch of boy brothers, you know. And she's lived in tents for quite a while. So maybe it's nice to go to town to see how the other half live, you know. Get some ideas. So she wanted to go to town to visit the women of the land. So I think she's a bit naive, that's my guess. I don't think she's been... just to say this, if you read some of the commentaries, they're pretty hard on Dinah. They make out that she's a bit of a silly girl, more than silly, very foolish. I don't think she was. I just think she was naive. She just wanted to see what it was like in town, you know. The town's up there, never been there, so have a look, see how it is, meet the ladies there, see how they live, see what kind of style they wear, that sort of thing. Okay, so I think that's perfectly innocent what she's doing, but as I say, she went on her own, and I don't think that was a clever trick. But next one, please, then. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, he's one of the rulers of the town, when Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and raped her. Not good, eh? And the reason I put that picture up there, was she with the girls of the town at the time, and he came along and chatted her up and took her off? I suspect that's what happened. That's my guess. But the point I'm making is powerful people seem to think they can do what they like, don't they? Mm-hmm. And he's ruler in that area, he's one of the top people. And there's the danger. We see it in society today. That's been one of the big things in the Hollywood issue, hasn't it? These film producers think they can do anything, get away with anything. Well, it's not like that, and God can rumble them eventually, of course. But here's this chap called Shechem, son of Hamor, and he goes and rapes poor Dinah. Right, next one, please. This is strange what happens after that. He says, his heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, get me this girl as my wife. Well, in other instances that you read about rape in the Bible, as soon as the girl's been raped, the guy hates the sight of her. Well, this isn't the case with Hamor. Not Hamor, Shechem rather. He seems to have taken a liking to Dinah. Beautiful girl, I imagine. Anyway, he decides he'd like to marry her. He should have thought of that first, shouldn't he, really? Yeah. Get things in the right order would be the best way, but no, there you are. Anyway, it's more than physical attraction now. He likes her. But interestingly, he goes to his dad and says, get me this girl as my wife. Well, I know they arranged marriages in those days. Maybe that was the way to go about it. But he just strikes me as a bit sort of a spoiled boy, you know. I want, and can I have? Yeah, well, maybe that's how it was, I don't know. But he's the eldest son, probably. I want. Does Dad know what he's done?
No.
I don't think he told Dad. Or maybe Dad knew about it, I don't know. But anyway, I'm guessing. There's lots in this chapter you can guess about. Anyway, he says, I've seen this girl, I want to marry her, get her for me, Dad, yeah? Okay, next one, please. When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with his livestock, and so he kept quiet about it until they came home. Well, he couldn't say anything to anybody anyway, could he? He kept quiet about it. Do you know, I think he just brooded on it. It's bad news, terrible thing to think about. And perhaps he was thinking, what's... You know, he's just had a tremendous, I don't know how recently, but tremendous experience of God, and all of a sudden you get a bucket of water thrown on you. That's how it works in life, isn't it, so often? Things are going nice, and you think, wow, wonderful. And some dirty rat comes and dumps water on you. Well, that's what's happened here. And poor old Jacob hears this terrible news. How did he find out? Strange, isn't it, how news can travel? But it did. See, they didn't have internet in those days, but word gets out. So he hears about this and he waits till the boys come home. On his own with bad news. What did he do?
He probably boasted about it if he used to doing that.
He might have boasted, yes. Yes, he might. You don't know. We don't know. Yes. There's lots of things you could speculate on, yeah? Well, what happens is that the lads asked if he can get married. And so Shechem's father, Hamor, went out to talk with Jacob. So they go meet together, sort out things, dad and man to man. What would you do in that situation? What would you think would be the best thing to do? Go ahead with it? I think so. I mean, it's hard, really, but I would say, look, you know, he wants to marry her. Is she all right about it? They don't seem to ask the girl, they don't.
Yeah. Know.
Is she all right about it? I mean, she's been raped, after all. But anyway, they discuss the issue, a bit of a few heads together, see what they can work out, yeah? Make the best of a bad job, dear friends. That's quite often as it is in life, isn't it? Alright, next one, please. Right. Now, Jacob's sons had come in from the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. So it's spreading around, isn't it? Yeah. They were filled with grief and fury because Shechem had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter. A thing that should not be done. Well, they make it quite clear. It was a thing that should not be done. It was wrong. What Shechem had done, it was wrong. And they're angry about it, they're well, yes, very angry about it. But one other little thing in that verse there, it says, he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel. It's the first time the word Israel is used to describe the family, rather than just dad, yeah? So from then on, the family's called Israel, mostly anyway. But yeah, so these lads come home, they hear this news, and they are really angry about it. What's the problem with anger? It can get you into trouble. Well, this is what's going to happen here. Next one, please, then. But Hamor said to them, Hamor's just turned up, apparently. Hamor said to them, My son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give him to her as his wife. Intermarry with us. Give us your daughters and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it. Trade in it and acquire property in it. So he's trying to soften things a bit by saying, you know, if we get together on this one, then there's advantages for you. Yeah? And it's an arranged marriage idea, but he's saying there's political possibilities. We could be stronger people together, you know. And business possibilities. Your land, our flocks, you know. We could do very well out of this one, after all. don't mention what's happened, though. You notice that? No mention about the crime that's been committed. It's all political and business stuff, yeah? So, is it going to be a deal? Is it going to be a deal? No. Next, please. Then Shechem said to Dinah's father. Now, he's turned up. He's just come along after all this chatting and discussing things, yeah? Shechem said, so give him grace for this. He did actually turn up to say something, but he doesn't apologize.
No.
Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I am to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask me. Only give me the girl as my wife. What did I say? He doesn't make any apology, which would have been a good thing to do, but he comes along and says, look, whatever you ask, I'll do it. Yeah. Ask the price, whatever it is. You remember, he's one of the powerful ones in Shechem, top man, money's no object, and you know the danger with powerful people is they think they can buy people as well.
Yeah.
So, easy come. Yeah. Money's the answer to the rich man. Well, it isn't, I'm afraid, but there you are, that's what they think. Right, the next one, please. Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. Yeah? Their anger leads them to sin. Yeah, they're on a slippery slope. That's the problem with anger, you know. There's a righteous anger, but mostly it isn't, as it turns out. We'll look at why they're angry, what they're angry about. Well, let's think about it now. Why are they angry?
Their sister got
raped. Their sister got raped. That's true. But there are other reasons why they're angry.
Because they're
talking about it.
Sorry?
They think they can be bought up.
Well, that may be one of the things, then they can be bought off, yeah?
You never
knew
what he did.
You're not aware of the culture of those times. I think most of us are. But we're beginning to see it. There's shame on the family. And you know what happens when there's shame on the family in some cultures?
Bang, bang.
Yeah. That's one of the things, I'm sure, what's stirring in their hearts here, yeah? Right? They pretend to negotiate. Yeah, it says they replied deceitfully. They pretend to negotiate, but they're not negotiating at all. And I've just put you the question. Where did they learn to deceive? Their old dad, from granddad. They were first class deceivers, weren't they? Their great uncle, yeah, they've learned from all this lot, but I've got news for you too. But I've got news for you mums and dads, when you've got little ones. You won't have to teach the baby to say no. They learn no very quickly for themselves. You notice that? Right? Because the old human heart has got problems. I mean, they can learn from the example, but it's there as well. Yeah, so these brothers and half-brothers are the deceivers, as we'll see. Right, next one, please. Rather long text here, but yeah, see what they got to say. They said to them, we can't do such a thing, make a deal. We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. We will give our consent to you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males. Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we'll take our sister and go. Okay, well, we'll agree on one condition only. Yes. And what's the terrible thing about that is, they're using what was a sacred sign in the family that God had given to Abraham, and they're using it as a weapon. That's what's going on there. So it's almost like misusing God's name, isn't it, really? That's what's going on here. And they're just scheming, according to that. Yeah. Next one, please. It's a strange thing. I've added this into the story. It's a strange thing. God wanted this family to be separate from the nations. Did you know that? He was creating a family of the Jewish people in order to bring Jesus into the world, the Messiah, to be the Savior of the whole world. But God had to do it through one family. And so he wanted that family separate from the rest of the nations, because the nations had gone after their gods, their own wicked ways, their foolish things. God wanted somebody he could train to do the right thing. So God wanted them separate, but this was not the way he wanted them to go about it. It's strange, isn't it? Not good. Not good. Right, next then please. I put a knife in for you, I thought you'd like that, yeah? Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man, who was the most honoured of all his father's household, lost no time in doing what they said, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of their city to speak to their fellow townsmen. So they're quite happy about all of this option that's been laid before them. Shechem is quite keen on the young lady, isn't he? Yeah. One thing that we need to bear in mind, the practice of circumcision was not just limited to the Jews. It might sound a bit harsh for them to think about that, but in their culture there were others who were communities that had circumcision as part of their practices as well. So it's not quite out of the extraordinary as we might think it is. Hamor was willing to accept the conditions. Now that's the dad. He's willing to go along with it as well. And Shechem was keen to get married to Dinah. So it's all looking good, isn't it? Yeah, right. But the condition was that everybody was to be there, right? So they need to consult the townsfolk. So they've got to sell it to the townsfolk. Yeah? How are they going to do that? Well, let's have a look at our next one. Just remember, these aren't pictures of Hamor and Shechem, by the way, but same idea. These men, they go to the town council area, that's at the city gate, the council area. These men are friendly towards us, they said. Let them live in our land and trade in it. The land has plenty of room for them. We can marry their daughters and they can marry ours. But the men will consent to live with us as one people only on the condition that our males be circumcised as they themselves are. Won't their livestock, their property and all their other animals become ours? So let us give our consent to them and they will settle among us. They're talking like politicians. They're selling the deal. Business deal, look at that. Think of all their flocks and animals. They'll be ours. Yeah? I want you to think of all of that, yeah? And the politics is we'll be more powerful when we've got them on our side as well. So they sell them the politics and the economics. But they don't mention the real reason they want it to happen. Yeah? Because for them, personal interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it? I shouldn't say this, certainly sounds like politicians all over. Mm-hmm. They sell you the earth, and it's all about them really in the end. And do you notice how they appeal to the people? Yeah? Do you know this has happened down the millennia? Do you know what the Romans had? What their appeal was? It was the circuses and bread. We need more circuses and more bread. So the politician says, vote for me and I'll get you more circuses. This was entertainment and food. That's what it was about, yeah? And it happens down the centuries. Same old way. They promise you everything. Yeah? There was and they deliver nothing, of course. Yeah, there was a man, Alistair Cook, who did a letter from America many years ago, and he was talking to the mayor of New York, the one that had been elected recently, and they was asking him about how he's getting on and all that. And he said, what about all those promises you made about the election? And the governor said, I lied. He was honest enough to say he lied. Yeah, that was a strange way of putting it, isn't it? But you got the idea. Well, they say one thing, they mean something else. Right, so, next time please. So, all the men who went out to the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. So they agreed. Great deal, we'll buy that one. We're into a good thing coming. Yes. Good. It's not going to work out, is it? Now, next thing, please. All the men went out of the city gate, agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. That's the same line. But I've added a little caution to it, yeah? A warning. Doing the religion does not make you a child of God. Yeah? They got circumcised. Didn't make them Jews. Yeah? They didn't. Just by taking on board their religion, in a sense, doesn't make them believers. I want to say, contrast that with Ruth. You remember the story of Ruth? Yeah. Ruth was a foreigner, like them. A Moabitess, yeah? And one of the cursed peoples, in a way. Yeah. Ruth, a Moabitess, she joins up with her mother-in-law, Naomi, And when it's time to go back to the land of Israel, Naomi says, you girls go back to your folks. You know, there's not, I've got nothing for you, I can't do anything for you. You go back home. And what does Ruth say? Ruth says, no, I'm not. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. That's not externals, friend. That's on the inside. Doing religion will not make you a child of God. It's believing the stuff that God's told you about his son, about God's love for you, his forgiveness. When it gets on the inside, it's real. Right, okay. Next slide, please. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, they were her full brothers, by the way, not just half brothers, yeah? Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. Great, eh? Yeah? It's premeditated. 3 days later, they wait for the pain to take effect. Yeah, so they're pretty disabled by then, yeah? And it's a massacre. It's strange, isn't it? One man's sin means they wipe out the whole town. That's anger for your friends when it gets out of control. It won't stop at one, it's going to wipe everybody out, yeah? One man, one town, a whole town for one man's sin. Sin multiplies, it's wrong. Yeah, it's certainly wrong. And they go, and I assume Dinah had been taken off to town as part of the marriage agreement. Mm-hmm. Sounds all great, doesn't it? And then they go and collect her again, they snatch her back. We don't hear much about Dinah, but what do you think she thought about that?
Terrible. Well, she probably had feelings for the man anyway.
I mean, I hope so, yeah, but her entire life has been wiped out effectively. It's a disaster. Complete disaster. They're not thinking of her.
No.
Yeah, he's defiled our sister. They're not thinking of her at all. Really, I don't think so. Anyway, that's what that happened. They wiped the town out. As a result, well, not quite. Right, they killed all the men. Next slide, please. Yeah. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and out in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Adding to murder, robbery! It's disgusting, isn't it? Really is. I mean, I read some commentary that said, these were the spoils of war. This isn't war, friends. This is murder. It's massacre. That's what's going on. It's not war at all. Disgusting, yeah? And it says, the sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies, yeah? So which of the sons of Jacob, apart from Levi and Simeon, were in on it? I don't think they were all in on it. I'll give you one name I don't think was in on it. Joseph. And there were probably others a bit young as well, maybe that's the part. It just rounds up the rest of them, that's my guess, yes? Yeah, they were accomplices anyway. And we're not told what happened to the women and children.
They're probably
took them, I bet they made them slaves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice people, are they? Mm-hmm. Well, let's have a look at our next one, yeah? Jacob, when he heard all about this, yeah, said to Simeon and Levi, you brought trouble on me by making me a stench to the Canaanites and Perizzites, the people living in this land. So, he says, you put us all to shame. Yeah? How do we look now? You make us stink in the minds of people, yes? What about God's reputation? How does this God of Israel look to the rest of the peoples now? And I offer this as a challenge, dear friends. Your behavior can affect how other people see God. Yeah? Remember years ago a dear friend of mine saying that something had gone on in the church that wasn't right, and he said to me, brother, the name of Jesus is mud in the town now. Yeah. Be careful how you live. Yeah, and they've definitely not done it. And Jacob says his full criticism, I'm going to read this to you, about what they've done. He's talking to them on the level they understand, I think, really. Shame is one of their ideas, of course. But in Genesis 49, at the end of his life, he says this about what had happened. Genesis 49, verses 5 to 7. He's prophesying over his sons. And he says this, Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter into their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger, and hamstrung their oxen as they please. Cursed be their anger, so fierce, and their fury, so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob, and disperse them in Israel. So Jacob was prophesying there, and that's God's view of what their anger was like. Curse. Yeah. Next slide, please. Next one, that's a guess. We are few in number. This is Jacob saying, we're few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed. You've put us all at risk. You've killed us down off. We might all get killed off now. That's what he's saying, really. There's the danger. We're not that big. And there's a lot of people out there, and they may take exception to the way you treat them. We're in danger. Interesting, I asked you the question, that Jacob had been promised by God that he'd build him up and he'd have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And he says, we might be wiped out. Well, God's got his promises. But there's, and God will keep his promises. I guarantee that. But the human side is this, you can mess it up. You can mess it up. God will find a way if you do mess it up. That's the truth in the story of, you remember Esther, Queen Esther, before she became queen, her uncle, father type figure, said, you've got to go and tell the king to change the rules. And she says, I can't because he hasn't invited me in for over a month. If I go in and I'm not invited, for me. And her husband, or her dad says, or Mordecai as he's called, what does he say? He says, if you don't go, deliverance for Israel will arise from somewhere else. But don't think you'll escape. You'll get the consequences if you don't do it the way God wants you. So what I'm saying is, God's promises are there, but you can mess it up big time. Yeah. He'll work it out his own way, but best doing it God's way, yeah? Next one, please. But they replied, should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? I put there, they're trying to say two wrongs do make a right, really. Look at them, absolute cheek of them there. They answer back to their dad. There's no remorse, they're not sorry about what they've done. And they're rather justifying themselves and their evil, what they've done. Who made them judges in this situation? Think they can do anything they like, eh? Yeah? Well, here are these boys, the sons of Israel, going to form the ancestry of the Jewish people. Yeah? Just like with Jacob, God has a lot of work to do on these boys, does he not? Yes? Do you think he's going to knock them into shape?
Yeah.
Oh yes. Yes. Sometimes it can be hard. And we'll see it later on in the time at the book of Genesis at the end. When they meet their brother Joseph, yeah? Simeon, I believe, is the one who's chosen to stay behind and sweat it out. Yeah? God's at work on these guys. He's going to humble them and make them realize you don't do it your way, you do it God's way. Yeah. Anyway, that's for another time. Next, please. Right. So, is God going to bless this lot? This is a dysfunctional family, definitely. You can't get more dysfunctional than Jacob's family. Is God going to bless this lot? And if so, why? Well, we're agreed he's going to bless them. Yeah? Right, so we can say, if why not, is he going to bless them because they're such wonderful, nice, kind human beings? Pray not. And you know, why is he going to bless them then? Because he made a promise. Made a promise. Yeah, that's one of the things. And the other is, it's all of grace. What God does in your life, as he does in these people's lives, they don't deserve a thing. They don't deserve a thing, you got it? Yeah? And that's what's true of them, it's true of me, brothers and sisters, and true of you too. Yeah? Don't come thinking, I've done my bit, I've said my part, I've played my part. Yeah? God must be good to me. Yeah? There's all the stuff on the list you didn't leave off, you've left off. You didn't count in, all the wrong stuff. Yeah? We have this crazy idea, we can do a balancing act, you know. Put our good stuff in, next to our bad stuff, and if we've got more good in our lives than bad, then we'll get off. Is that right? Praise God. Do you know what sent Jesus to the cross? Those sins. And if it meant Jesus had to die for those sins, you won't pay them off by a few little good deeds in your life. Are you sure of that? That's why God is going to bless his lot. It's because he's a gracious, merciful God. Praise the Lord for that. Next slide, please. Yeah? Here we are then, the endless cycle. They've just started it. God's going to stop it, of course. Yeah. With the endless cycle. Attack, revenge, then they attack back, and then you revenge, and on it goes. Down the generations, if you're not careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
What can break a cycle like that? God's grace. But what's the human bit? What's the human bit?
Say sorry.
Forgiveness. That's not easy, is it? It's not easy. I suspect Jacob had forgiven Shechem. That's why he let his daughter go. But the boys hadn't. They got lots to learn yet, you know. Next then, please. Yeah. Right. Here's the picture from, if you've got the Good News newspaper, this is on the last page of the Good Newspaper. I thought it was so great as an example of how to break through this cycle of revenge, you know. What happened to Dinah? We don't know. Was her life a complete wreck after that? It's quite possible. Is she marriageable now?
No.
Doesn't seem like it, does it? No? Unless some starry-eyed young man turns up and thinks, well, I don't care what your past is, it's you I love now. Well, that's possible, but we don't know. Anyway, here's this lady. Her name, Gymnast forgives her abuser. Courageous Rachel Den Hollander gives her victim impact statement in court, describing her pain, but also her forgiveness. So she's saying what I'm going to read to you. She's saying to the man who abused her, yeah, I pray you experience the soul-crushing weight of guilt, so that you may someday experience true repentance and true forgiveness from God, which you need far more than forgiveness from me, though I extend that to you as well. Isn't that amazing? And you know, that's the only thing that can cut through the cycle of attack, revenge. Someday, somebody's going to say, I forgive. And that breaks it. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Do you know, this lady, I mean, I don't know anything about her, she was just on the back page of the newspaper. She's got her life back. The man took it away from her in a way. Yeah? But she's got her life back with the Lord's grace. Grace, forgiveness, all that mercy begins to make a change in all of this thing. And these boys are going to find some of that eventually. Though it's a long road they have to walk. Well, if you've not found forgiveness yet, yeah, you need forgiveness first of all in order to forgive. I found that was the case, isn't it? Why do we forgive? Because we've been forgiven so much. Yeah, God's done things for me and for you that I don't deserve. And we're going to celebrate that when we come to break bread in a moment, yeah? It's what Jesus has done for us that makes the difference. But praise the Lord, once he's broken the cycle, then we can begin to see things change for the better. Yeah, wonderful, isn't it? So, brothers and sisters, if you've had a hard time, if you've been broken and messed up by other people, I'm not saying you forgive them to let them off. You know, when she was saying that, she asked for the maximum sentence. Yeah, justice will be done. But she's saying is, I'm praying that one day you really realise the terrible thing you've done, so that you seek God's forgiveness. And that's the freedom you'll need if you're ever going to face your Maker. Yeah. So, dear friends, we're going to thank God that he's able to get through the mess. What a mess! Chapter 34. I'll tell you this, you probably won't hear that preached on for a while again, will you? Yeah. I've got various commentaries, they skip that chapter. How about that? But there's a lot of amazing things in it to learn. And the thing that strikes me about it all is how evil human beings can be when they get their anger up. When human beings are left to their own wicked ways, they can do some terrible things. And I say they, and I mean we.
Yeah.
I've been to Whitemore, brothers and sisters. I've been a prison visitor in Whitemore prison. Yeah. And I know, there, but for the grace of God. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for your amazing mercy. We pray for those whose lives have been damaged through the evil of men and women. We pray, Lord, you'll help them to learn how to put their lives into your hands and find an escape, Lord, to be able to forgive, Lord, and to move on. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord, where people have wronged us, Lord, and sometimes when it's really hard, Lord, it's because it's really deep. Lord, help us to learn how to forgive and to be free in you, Lord. Lord, thank you. You love us so much. You're able to heal the wounds, take away the pain, to bless and show us mercy. Lord, and where we are tempted to become our own personal judges, to run our own vendettas, to get even, Lord, you say, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Lord, we are to behave in a different way because we found mercy with you. Help us, we pray, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.